people out, how I can kind of help somebody, you know, even one or two people.
So that's very good. So that's another very nice angle to all of this. That, what is the purpose of one's life? You know, so that's a very big question. And then the first one posed by Miss Nita is about relationship. You know, what do you mean by relationships? What is a relationship? That's also very good. Okay, and I don't, Miss Debbie, is it? Yes.
Yes.
If you can please introduce yourself and kind of take your interests.
Hi, I'm Debbie, and I've just been absorbing all the information that you all have been given.
Yes.
I guess my goal is to change my mindset.
Mm-hmm.
I'm quite a worrisome type person.
Sure.
My mind is always going, and I'm just trying to find some peace. I am taking care of my older parents, and mm-hmm. it's very trying.
Right. So yes. Okay. So that's another very good and very common question about peace. You know, what is meant by peace? How to calm the mind? And then in the context of relationships, you'll notice that everything that you are saying, it's all interconnected together. So, okay. Miss Mia, would you, your video is not on, but that's fine if you don't want to turn it on. If you want to just introduce yourself and what your interest might be. Hello, Mia?
Yes, I'm here, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Hi, my name is Mia, and my interest is basically the same as the ladies mentioned, but also personal growth.
Okay, very good, very nice, very interesting. What is meant by, you know, so that's a big question also. What is meant by personal growth? See, these are questions. Each of these questions we will be going into step by step carefully. All right, very nice, Mia. Anything else you'd like to say? Mia, anything else you want to say? Okay.
Just when I say personal growth, as far as like your own inner peace and your own inner happiness, as far as achieving your goals and things
very
of that
good.
Sort.
Very good, very good, very nice. All right. Now, I don't know what the name of the individual is. I just see the name of the login. That's LG Stylo 3 Plus. If you want to introduce yourself, you don't have to if you don't want to. If you want to just listen in, that's fine. I don't know who that is. So if you want to, you're more than welcome to do so. And if you don't want to, that's fine. Then we'll have Jeevan's Gray, Mr. Jeevan, if you want to introduce yourself, you may want to do that. And then we also have one more person. Okay, yes. Uh-huh. So yes, if you there we are. We can see both of you very nicely. So if you please introduce yourself.
My name is Jeevan Mirchia.
Yes, sir.
Myself and my wife Usha Mirchia, we have been attending your interesting sermons for ways to think of yourself.
Okay.
And my question is, where do we want to go? What do we want to be?
Yes. What do we want to be? See, this is another very, very interesting question about being and becoming. You know, being, what is the difference between becoming and being? This is a very, very interesting question. So, again, we will probe into each of these as we go further. It will go deeper and deeper, and it will become more clear to all of us what we're referring to. Okay. Does anyone want to say anything else at this point? There were a couple of people who didn't introduce themselves, but maybe they just want to listen in, which is perfectly all right. So if no one wants to say anything else at this point, I'm going to give a little bit of an intro with a couple of slides on what we mean by meditative dialogue. So I'm going to do a little screen share here, and then we will go into the dialogue in just about another 5 or 6 minutes from now. All right, so just bear with me here so that I can present this to you. All right. So, yes, so I want to welcome you on behalf of Dr. Chetna Kripalu, who is the founder of Angel Wing LLC, to Meditative Dialogues. So this is our first one, you know, so you guys are on the groundbreaking floor here, you know, so thank you for joining in. We're going to begin. So dialogue is a very big thing to understand, even conceptually. But to understand that, let's look at what we mean by a question. When I asked all of you a question right now, you all gave different answers. And any question, whether what is happiness, what is balance, what is truth, what is being, what is becoming, what is service, what is joy, any question is the beginning of inquiry. So a question, any question, and in fact, all human progress has been made this way. So that is the beginning of inquiry. What is inquiry? Inquiry is to delve into and to try to open up the question. So in the scientific method, that's what happens. The scientific method is based on observation and hypotheses, and then theories come out. So similarly, we will be questioning about the mind specifically, and about many questions about life. Now, it's not, dialogues are not necessarily restricted to that. They could be any topic, literally, that we want to examine in depth. But it kind of has more of a flavor about examining the inner world, the internal reality, the psychological world. It has more of that kind of a bent. Although scientific questions can be examined, and we can get into some of those things also. So how does this process begin? The second point there, a question is posed with openness to discover truth. So the question that we will be posing today is, what is balance? All the questions that all of you have posed, we will roll them into this question also. But we will be probing into this step by step, carefully, back and forth. You will see how that goes. A question is posed for wisdom rather than merely intellectual debate. It's a big difference. It's possible to take a question and debate it back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Two parties trying to convince each other, like a debating club. That's fine also. That's a very good intellectual exercise. But what we're trying to do in Angel Wing with these meditative dialogues is to try to open up and awaken wisdom, a new vision, a clear vision of life and of ourselves, which many of you have talked about. Now, the fourth point is very interesting. The answer to the question is hidden within the question itself. You know, so that will become more clear through the dialogue process, what that means. The process of inquiry allows for the mind to obtain a better view of itself. See, I'll give you a simple example. If I was to ask you to list 10 things that make you happy, I'm sure you could do it. Some people will say better relationships. Some people will say more money, better health, this, you know, whatever. You could do it very quickly. Within the next 30 seconds, you could make a list of 10 things. But that question is different than asking, what is the nature of happiness? What is happiness actually? As opposed to what makes you happy? That's a different question. Both questions are important and necessary. What makes you happy is different than what is happiness itself. So that's the difference between looking at the content of the mind and analyzing the content, the different pieces of the mind, versus observing the structure of the mind. So the dialogue process is an attempt to ultimately gain very, very clear observation of one's own internal mental structure and the internal flow of energy and emotions and all such things. It's a direct, it's a very, very intense viewing and probing that can happen through inquiry. All right, let's go to the next point here. So dialogue is investigation and inquiry. Dialogue reaches natural intensity, depth, strength, concentration, and greatness, where the mind is used as a tool for inquiry. So this requires some patience. This is not like your traditional meditation techniques like alternate nostril breathing and visualization. It's none of that. This is very different from that. That's also good. That's also necessary. This is something different, where we are directly trying to touch the way the mind is moving, the way the internal world is moving, and the external world, both. Very interesting. Dialogue culminates in a meditative quality that the ordinary mind does not reach through the dialogue activity that we will engage in, start in just a moment. The mind reaches meditation naturally, without you trying to meditate. So this is something different. You may not have heard this before this way. So just bear with me, and I'm really requesting you, and this is my prayer to all of you, to be patient with this, because this is not something that most people are just going to be able to just grasp this or be in that right from the first dialogue. It may not happen that way. If it does, it's fine, but it may not. So just hang in there, and I'll do my best to guide you through it. Okay, now let's go to the next point here. This is very interesting, and I will be sending these slides to all of you. If you look at this, what's in this blue box here, suspending the question in the group without a fixed starting conclusion. So let me give you an example of what that means. For example, if I was a preacher in a church or in a temple or, if I was a teacher or a preacher of a particular religious doctrine, I would have certain fixed beliefs, and then I would be trying to preach or teach based on my beliefs. That's one approach that many people take, but that's not the approach that is taken here. The approach that is taken here is to not start with a fixed conclusion. Even though you may have conclusions, I also have many conclusions, but when we are inquiring, we want to see if we can place the conclusions on the side for the time being, so that the mind remains very, very open, like a fresh flower. So this is the first point here, the freshness of new flowers. When you see these beautiful flowers that have opened up, and you can smell the rose, you can smell the jasmine, you can smell the difference, you know, the splendidness of it, that fresh quality to the mind, to our life, we want to obtain. There's no criticism of anyone or anything like that, but it is to really leave the conclusions on the side as much as possible, so that the question is suspended. See, most of the time we are trying to justify a conclusion. Most human beings are, or we're trying to get to a conclusion and stop the inquiry. So, for example, if Einstein simply believed everything Newton stated and said Newton is 100% right, but he never probed further, there would not be all the advancements in quantum mechanics and E equals mc squared and all the tremendous things that are going on in physics. So, dialogue is an attempt to awaken oneself out of the old conditioned mind. Okay, so we'll go into all of this. I don't want to overwhelm you with too many ideas about this also. Because I've been doing this for over 15 years. You know, and this is a very, very profound activity, but very straightforward once we get into it. Now, the point number two is the mind that is carefully examining and not reacting. So we observe. If there's a reaction that happens, that's okay. We see what is there. But when that question is left suspended, the mind is observing, looking from this angle, this angle, this angle, this angle, multiple angles. All right. Observing the nature of the mind, as I mentioned before. Now, these are the points. These are all awareness points. Awareness of the structure of the mind. See, this word structure is fantastic. You see this mug I'm holding, right? This mug has a structure. It has a certain form. It's a very physical object, you know, that I can touch, I can hold. If I put liquid, I can smell in there. Very, very clear. The structure is very clear to me. Many objects in the outside world, their structure and their form is very clear. But what is not clear to most human beings is the structure of the mind. That is not clear to most people. In fact, they may not have even heard that word expression before. What is meant by structure of the mind? See, when we have a thought that occurs, that thought is a process that is connected to so many other thoughts and memories, like a web, that entire web of memories and emotions and feelings, that's the structure of the mind. But it's very subtle, very profound, but very intimate. We're with it all the time. Okay. Next point is dimensions of the mind. The different depth of it, the dimensions of it, where the boundary is. That's a big question. I don't explain too much about that now, but some other time. Awareness of the depth of the mind. We all have had the experience. When we start to think about something from the past that was bothersome to us before, and it comes up again in the present, and it bothers us again. That means that that particular difficulty has been embedded inside the mind at a deeper level. So to be aware of how deep certain feelings and thoughts and emotions are, that awareness of the depth of the mind, we will try to go into that. Awareness of the direction of the mind. This is a big thing, folks, for me and for you, for all of us. Think of the word direction. If you're driving a car, we generally don't drive aimlessly. We have a destination in mind. We have a specific direction in mind. Similarly, our thoughts, our mental activity is generally in some direction. And when we recognize what direction it is in, then the next step is to masterfully change the direction the way we want. We'll talk about that at another point, another time. Awareness of the flow of the mind. These things, like the flow of the mind and all of this, is happening. It's possible to realize this because we're in it all the time. We are flowing in the mind all the time. All right, now let me continue here. So this point here, the question is left suspended in the mind where thought does not touch it. That's our goal. Thought is used to a certain extent. Eventually, as the inquiry becomes deeper and deeper, once we begin it, at some point you will notice, it may happen today, it may happen next week, or it may happen the week after. We don't know when exactly. But for most of you, or some of you, you will at some point feel that the mind has nowhere to go. There's like, it can't do anything anymore. It's just kind of held in abeyance. It's been suspended naturally. And when that happens, when this occurs, when the mind is left, you know, where the mind cannot touch that question anymore, the answer to the question that was asked is internally awakened as flashes of insight and clarity. It will be like, aha, I see that, I see that, I see that. You'll have that flash of insight. It's just a flash that comes. That is what we are aiming to. Let's see what happens. This is something very interesting. All right. Let's go to the next thing here. All right. Now, just a couple of points about how this will go. Statements of participants are used by the facilitator, that's me, to probe further. The facilitator will utilize statements of group members for further exploration, probing in greater depth, and to awaken intelligence. Awakening of intelligence implies that one's intelligence is not functioning to its full capacity due to much of it remaining dormant. That means if we're trying to awaken our intelligence fully, that means that some of it, or maybe a lot of it, is still quite dormant. The third point is choiceless awareness. This thing I will explain later, what that is. We will come back to that again and again and again, choiceless awareness. I don't want to explain it right now. But maybe later on we'll explain that and go into that. Opening the door into a personal and direct vision of one's mental processes. You know, so that is kind of like a goal, or that is where, you know, we're aiming to do such a thing. So, whoops, let me see here. Hold on one second. Yeah. So opening the door into a personal and direct vision. It's your vision. This is not like any kind of meditation session you may have attended before. I'm not guiding you towards any particular meditation. I'm not telling you to do something, nor am I going to, nor am I trying to convince you of anything. I will be presenting certain ideas that are applicable to me, but I'll be looking at them also. And you'll be looking at them also in your own way. All right, now, let me see here. Okay, one moment here. So, next point. The significance given to words differs from person to person. It's the same word balance, which we will go into today. For each of us, it's going to have some different meaning for each of us, different experience, what that is. And that's fine, but we will eventually come to not the same belief, but we will try to understand each other at the same level, and I will try to facilitate that process. All right, let's go to the next thing here. So communication that we will be engaging in, you know, there's like several types of communication. So there's verbal communication, nonverbal communication, like my hands are being used here, like that. And then there's communication that occurs internally through the mind. So we'll be aware of all of these as we, as this moves on. Okay, let me see here. I'm trying to go to the next slide. There we go. Okay, so what is meditative dialogue? These are just some points that we've already covered in here. It is an inquiry, and basically I've talked about this already. So this is where we begin, folks. We're going to begin with this now. If you guys are ready to do this, this is how we start. So the starting point here is the question of balance. What is meant by balance and imbalance? So please unmute yourself if you want to begin this, and we will, and I will facilitate this. So you don't have to think too much about it, but I'm just going to stop the screen share just for a moment here so I can, everyone can see it a little bit bigger. When you hear this word balance, what comes to your mind when you hear this word? Somebody begin. Go ahead, anybody. Miss Debbie?
I'm trying to think of the words.
Just don't think too much about it. Just whatever comes to your mind, it's all right. It's a place to begin. It's all right.
Balance, to have not too much worry, not too much craziness going on in the mind.
Okay, hold right there. Hold right there.
Clear.
Okay, so look at what she just said. To not have too much worry. Now, hold on. Now what I'm going to do here, I'm going to put that in the slide. What you just mentioned here is very, very good. When you say that, would you say that one more time, please?
I would like to not worry so much,
mm-hmm.
and be a little, if my mind would be a little more positive or productive,
all
if
right.
I would think clearer,
mm-hmm.
instead of worrying.
All right, so what I'm going to do here, I'm going to put down exactly what you're saying. Okay, this is a great place to begin. So, hold on, once you mentioned about four things here. So, I want to be clearer, right? This is one thing you stated, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then you said, and then the other thing you said, I don't want to worry.
Right.
Right? Okay, what else did you state? What was the third thing you stated?
I want to think clearer about a situation.
Okay, one second here. Okay, very good. What else?
That's all I can think of.
All right.
I may have said something else.
All right. That's fine. Okay, so now we will begin with this. So now to begin the inquiry, see, we begin with the first question. What is balance? And when you heard that, this is what you said. I want to be clearer. Now, that is referring to a state of clarity. To be clear means that there is some lack of clarity. Is that not so?
Right.
All right. So I'm going to ask you now. I'm going to ask you. Let's stay with me here. I want you to distinguish for the group what is the difference between clarity and lack of clarity. What do you say? Because this is a word you're using. That means you already know the answer to my question. To this question, take your time. When you say clearer, see, you said clearer. That means you want to be. That means there is some confusion, something that is still not completely in focus. You know, you don't have to get into the specifics. You have to describe specifics. I'm simply asking you, what is that lack of clarity? Let's approach it that way. What is lack of clarity?
Well, you said focus.
Okay.
You know, that's a good word.
So are you saying that you want 100% focus?
Yeah, probably.
Why do you say probably? Now, you see, I'll be picking out every word you guys make, okay? Because this is coming from you. This is different. So, why do you say? So are you saying that you don't want 100% focus?
No, I do.
You do. Why?
See, I use that word a lot. Maybe, I think so. Why can't I just make a statement?
Why? Okay, so making a statement. Now, you see.
Why can't I make a clear statement?
Yes.
About what I'm thinking.
All right. So this is interesting. So there are things that you are thinking about that you want to express, but it's not being expressed the way you want to express it.
Right.
Okay, so how does that... Now, this is where this gets a little bit deeper, and you got other people can jump into this now, please. How does what Miss Debbie is saying relate to balance? What is the relationship between balance and clarity? See what we have done so far. We just have made a connection here. Please go into everyone go into this, and I'm asking Miss Debbie specifically. When you talked about clarity, and I'm asking you to describe what is the connection between balance and clarity. Have you thought about this before? Have you looked at this before?
No.
Okay, so look at it now. The other people that are online, you can also jump. You can also go in different direction. But this is how the dialogue goes. The dialogue. And you take your time with it to go. It's a probe. It's not. There's no one right answer. So now the question. So now, as we're progressing forward, Miss Debbie is talking about clarity, and then I'm taking that one step further, saying, what is the relationship between balance and clarity? What do you all say about this, or about anything else related to this? So that's how the dialogue goes. It's you are actively thinking about this. Please go ahead.
Sachin, I want to. When clarity, is it emotional balance, emotionally balanced in any situation?
Uh-huh.
You show your, whether you're very happy or sad, not then showing emotions in different, extreme emotions.
Okay.
Being calm in all situations. Is this clarity?
All right. Okay, so this is a beautiful question. Now look, I'm not going to give you the answer to this. We want to go. hold on a second. No, watch this. We are going to open this further. I think this was Srinidhi what was saying this.
Sridevi.
I'm so sorry. Yes, Miss. So Sridevi, when you say being calm in all situations, is that what you mean by balance?
Yeah, that means you don't show your emotions in extreme, even when you're happy or sad or
mm-hmm. Okay.
You're balanced in your thought.
Oh, okay, all right. So I'm going to challenge you a little bit on this, just to open this up further. What is wrong with showing emotions, like strong emotion? What's the problem in that? Do you see a problem in that?
See, what happens is it can lead to anxiety. So anxiety and all these things are the effect of your extreme emotions. If there is an issue, then it leads to. So being balanced in every situation, whether it is good or bad.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Emotions can send you into a state of unclarity.
Yes.
Throw you out of balance.
Okay. See, there it is. Now you see what this dialogue is doing. Exactly. How Miss Debbie said, emotions, the imbalance of the emotional fluctuation can take you out of clarity. That's right. What you're saying, right? Okay.
Right.
Okay. So look at what we've done so far. So there is a sense that Srinidhi.
Devi.
I don't know why it says Nidhi on here. I'm so sorry. Devi is saying that the emotional fluctuations, extreme emotion, is actually the cause of many problems in life. This is her statement. Then Miss Debbie is now saying that those extreme emotions take you out of clarity. Right? So what is the relationship now between emotion and clarity? See the question. See, we're opening the question further and further. And you'll see how amazing this is. So that's my reflection. What is the relationship between emotion and the state of clarity? Are we saying that if a person is completely clear, that their emotions, that they're not expressing any emotions? Are we saying that?
They're just in check somehow.
So the emotions are in check somehow.
They're controlled.
Okay, let me see here. Let's take a look. Emotions are controlled.
Then you would have clarity.
All right, so hold on 1 second. All right, 1 second. So what you're saying here is when emotions are controlled, then one would have clarity. That's what you're saying, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
All right. Okay. Now, we can take it to the next level. You use the word controlled. You see this word here? This is a very interesting word. Very interesting word. You look at this this word here. I'm going to highlight that one. Let me see here. You guys are going to have fun with this. It's a lot of fun, I'm telling you.
Okay. It's like a game.
When you use the word controlled, what is it that is being controlled? And who is controlling?
Mind.
Okay, but if you are saying that the... Okay, can you please elaborate? Devi, can you elaborate?
Yeah, the control means in any situation, you control your emotion means you can take your decisions and better, you can think of the situation better. You can handle the situation better.
So if you handle the situation better through a controlled mind, that's what you're saying, right?
If your mind is calm.
If the mind is calm. Okay, now hold on 1 second. There's a... I would like to draw a distinction between a calm mind and a controlled mind. I think they're two different things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? Okay, so all right, let's see here. Calm mind versus controlled mind. What are they the same thing? Are they different? Please, other people also jump in here. What do you say to all this?
Is it
the same thing? The question is a calm mind the same thing as a controlled mind?
No, I don't think so.
What do you say? Anybody?
I was thinking that, when you have a calm mind,
yes,
then through practice, it gets controlled.
All right, hold on a second. Let me write that down. Hold on one moment here.
Is it vice versa?
Okay, hold on 1 second. When you have a calm mind through... practice, the mind is controlled. Right? Okay. All right, so this is a very interesting point here. All right, Ms. Debbie was saying something else about this. Please go ahead.
Yeah, which comes first, the calm or the controlled?
So,
or does control bring calm?
All right. Now let's just do a little bit of a backtrack, and then we'll pick up at this point just for a moment here. Let's just to make sure we're all on the same page. Okay, one moment here. The question that we began with today was, what is balance? This was the question, right? The statements that have been made so far, just look at what has been said so far. Doesn't matter who said it, but this is what has been said. I want to be clear. I want 100% focus. I don't want to be worried. I don't want worry. I want to think clear about a situation. I want to make statements clearly. Then that led to the discussion about so then I said balance versus clarity. Balance and clarity. Are they the same? What is the relationship? Then somebody else said, if a person is emotionally balanced, which would mean being calm in all situations, then that leads to clarity. If there is emotional balance, then the mind is much more clear and open. This was the idea. So being balanced among all situations, not going into extremes, because the extremes cause anxiety and problems and all that. So then the word control was introduced for the first time today, that when emotions are controlled, then one would have clarity. So from there, we went to the calm versus the controlled mind. Is the calm mind the same thing as the controlled mind? So I want to put a reflection out there, a vision that is in my mind about this, and see what you all think about this. In my mind, there is a very big difference between a mind that has been artificially controlled versus a mind that is naturally steady and stable. So for example, somebody is imprisoned in a jail for committing a crime. Their behavior is controlled by the dynamics of the prison system. That's an artificial control. Versus somebody on the outside who doesn't feel like committing the crime of any kind, hurting others or whatever. In that situation, that behavior is not occurring, so there is a natural state that is not artificially induced. Do you see this point? So for example, the mind can be made to, one can try to control the mind, which is also through the mind. So that's one way to try to reach that silence and calmness and stability. But another way is to recognize the possibility of the mind remaining steady naturally, without the push and pull of control and suppression. Because the word control, the other side of that is indulgence. Control and indulgence are like a pendulum. Are you guys, I mean, I don't know if you see what I'm trying to say here.
I think so.
Someone who has a food addiction says, I'm not going to eat sweets, I'm not going to do this. So they're fighting hard and they stop doing so many things, you know. But they stop for 2 or 3 months. And then after 3 or 4 months, they lose all that control because of all the desires that are internally generated, and they wind up in indulgence, hyper-indulgence. And it goes back and forth. Indulgence versus suppression. So when we use the word control, this is a very interesting word, because control is needed obviously in life. But is control implying internal conflict? What do you say?
I think it does.
Miss Nita, is that you?
Yes.
Could you please elaborate? Could you elaborate, please?
I have a question.
Please.
Control, is it learned behavior?
So is control, yeah, okay, so this is a good question. Is control Well, I think I think I can answer that question for you, that yes. I think a lot of what we consider to be control, the do's and don'ts and all of that, it comes from family, from society, from the law, from wherever it comes from. It comes from the outside in different ways. And so that's a learned behavior, yes. It can be. Why not?
It is from culture.
At least that's culture, from situations. Yes, and also from personal experience. You know, like, so for example, I may feel like driving 120 miles per hour on Route 1 South going to Dover. I may want to do that, but I'm not going to do that because I don't want to get a ticket. I don't want to get the police after, I don't want problems to happen. So I control my impulse. See, the point I'm trying to get at here, I'm just sharing, my thoughts about this with you, is that the word control implies two things. There is the one part of the mind that is trying to gain mastery or gain control over another part of the mind. There's a controller that is controlling something.
So there is a struggle.
Of course. 100%. This is my opinion. But I don't want to say that in the dialogue. Because that'll be a conclusion. Because I don't want to say that control. I want you to see, is that true or not? Forget about what Sachin is saying. My perspective is yes, I think that most people are in a massive struggle. But But we want to keep that question open. Maybe there isn't a struggle with control. I don't know. I mean, I think if the personal experience is more important here, rather than my saying something about this or anybody, you know, you can say if you want. So yes, you used the word struggle. I wasn't going to say that, but you said it. Because, Miss Nita, can you detect the struggle?
I can detect the struggle if I don't want to be that way. And I'm in a controlled situation, like in a prison.
Yeah.
And I don't want to act that way, but I have to.
Right. So you see, you use the word want. So the word want refers to desire. See?
Yes.
So wanting is desire. So desire and control. Desire is a big question, but when desire awakens, you want something, and sometimes we want to do something or say, even, you know, say something to somebody which we know we shouldn't say. So now there's a conflict right there. Isn't it so? What do you say? There's a conflict right there internally, or there's at least an uneasiness inside that I want to say these terrible things to somebody, but I'm not going to say it because it'll hurt them, it'll cause problems. But internally, I want to say it.
I think there is a struggle internally, and that creates imbalance.
Ah, So this is very interesting now. See, the struggle internally that you are just referring to, Miss Nita, you are saying that the struggle creates imbalance. Okay, very interesting. So, please go ahead.
As we're speaking, I'm almost thinking that the now I lost my words.
That's all right. Take
what
your time.
You had before, being calm.
Yes.
And control.
Yes.
But now I'm seeing it as two different entities.
Ah, yes, yes. Uh-huh,
as, you know, just as you're speaking and everyone's speaking.
Yes.
I'm finding it not as close as I thought it was.
Yes, yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So.
So the external forces are there which has an impact on the mind?
So, external forces. All right, so let's put that down here. Okay. Forces. Absolutely. So you can see that there are so many external forces that impact the mind. Right? This is a big thing, actually, that she just stated here. So Devi is stating that external forces impact the mind. Alright. So, Devi, could you elaborate?
See, I feel that human beings are very gullible.
Okay.
So, we get our, we change our mind, emotions change according to the situations very fast.
Yes.
So this is a very powerful statement, which we'll get back to another time, which refers to the fact that this mind is extremely fast. The speed of the mind, right? Very interesting. Okay. Please continue.
So to be calm, we need to control internally. We get less influenced by outside. I think that is the key to be balanced in every situation.
Yes. So let me see if I can put this in a different way.
It's a very different problem. You'll have a lot of struggle in your mind because if you are constantly changing depending on the situations of outside situations.
Yes. Yes, certainly there is a lot of struggle. See, we have, okay, this is my perspective now. We have, as human beings, accepted struggle as the status quo. We believe that struggle is just inevitable, and maybe that's true. What do you say?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, but I'd like to challenge that a little bit.
But the only thing is that we have the power to adapt to situations so that it will make our mind calm and balanced. And one way probably is by meditation, like we are learning all that now. Right.
All right, so if we were to put all this in a different way, all of the statements that have been made so far, let me just stop the screen share just for a moment here so we can see each other a little bit bigger. If we can put this in a different way, is it possible to reach a state of balance without struggle? Is that even possible? Because whether it's control or whether it's clarity that we're looking at or we're looking at balanced emotions, almost in every statement that's been made so far, all of you that have made different comments and statements have mentioned some kind of struggle, conflict, internal strife in some form or another. Understood, that's what's going on. But I would like to put a question on top of that. Is it possible at all? Is it even in the realm of possibility to have balance or be in balance without struggle?
Probably.
Okay.
I wish it was possible. Now I'm.
Okay. Hold on, folks. Yes. Hold on just one second. Give me just a moment. I put this a different light on here. Second.
Hold on a second here.
Hold on just a moment here. Give me just a moment. Just a second. All right. So, you should be able to see me a little bit better. There we go. Okay. So this is an interesting question. The whole dialogue so far, very nice, very, very interesting points made by everyone. What I'm asking you all, why the struggle? Why does there have to be a struggle? And who is creating the struggle?
It's human nature.
We ourselves.
It's human nature.
Oh, well, hold on one second. But are we...
We start this question and answer.
No.
We don't have a struggle right now.
Okay, so... So
our force is outside, but we have to learn to deal with them.
Yes. So there's forces coming from outside. There are difficulties that happen internally. All these things happen. What I'm trying to, it's just a statement I'm making here, just as all of you are making the statement. Is there even the possibility of having balance without struggle?
Even, I would say yes.
You would say
yes.
There is that.
I would hope so.
Oh, okay. So you would hope so. Miss Milu said she would say yes. Some other people said probably.
Yeah, there is a way, but we have not been learning from the beginning. If we had learned it from the beginning, probably we wouldn't have been having struggle as we grow.
Oh, okay. Now, hold on one second here. Let's look at what is meant by struggle. When we use the word struggle, what is struggle?
It's a relative term, right? Struggle could be a simple struggle, could be major for someone. A difficult struggle could be minor for someone. It's a very relative term. Struggles are
conflict.
Depends on how
conflict.
Yes.
Right?
So
that varies from. I'm
sorry, I'm just saying a struggle could be somebody not able to provide, I mean, not having food,
yes,
you know, enough food for to feed the kids or something. Mm. That's a struggle.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
But for other people, not being able to go on a vacation because they have to, you know, maybe because of the situation,
right,
could be a struggle for them. So it's a very relative
term. Mm-hmm. Very beautiful. Yes. So as I hear that, I think that, you know, to me at least, I don't know how you all feel about it. I think, Ms. Milu, thank you for that. That is a very, very nice exposition. I would say that is, I mean, I think that that's the case. I think the struggles vary from person to person. But is it even possible, or let's put it this way, what would be needed to go through an 8-hour day without any struggle or tension or conflict? Can we talk about that? I mean, what type of mindset?
It is in the mind. I've had a lot of struggles lately, but on Tuesday, I somehow did try to gain a little control, and it was a nicer day.
Yes. Yes. Uh-huh.
But it took a conscious level to work on that and achieve it. Yes.
So that is where effort is required, you know, like placing effort. So there is a place for effort. We're obviously placing effort. But perhaps there is another approach also, that is where the activity, the right action, is performed without resistance. Do you follow?
Yes.
So take, now how to do this? So,
is that acceptance?
What was that again?
Situation?
What was that?
Acceptance of the situation.
Well, yes, I think that certainly there is a lot to be said for acceptance of a situation. So take a very simple example. If there are dishes in the sink that have to be cleaned, and vacuuming has to be done, and it just has to be get done, you know, because it's just got too much dirt and stuff like that. So most people will say, this is a chore, I don't want to do this, many people will feel like that, I don't feel like doing this, they see all those dishes, oh my God. Mm-hmm. There's a struggle and conflict right there, a massive, I mean, like, it's like, oh my God, I don't want to do this, but I have to do it, so I'm going to somehow force myself to do it. See,
yeah,
that mindset is very, very different, I would say radically different, from doing the activity of putting the dishes away and doing the vacuuming, doing your work and whatever the action is, doing it without internal resistance.
Mm-hmm.
Now here's the point. As a facilitator, I would say this, that to perform an activity, even a simple one or a small one, without any resistance is a form of meditation. It's meditation in action. It's the activity that is meditative. There isn't resistance there. There isn't the internal tussle, the internal, the conflicts and the internal control process. None of that is active there.
Resistance is a key word then.
Yes, most definitely. So resistance and balance. See the relationship between the two. When there is resistance, there is not real balance from within. So, to detect resistance in the present while performing action, is that possible?
Yeah, as long as we see positive thing in that. Whatever action we do, we need to take the positive. Like for instance, if I have to do vacuum, I'll take it as an exercise. That becomes a positive.
Yes, exactly. By the way, I don't know if you noticed or not, but we have already spent 1 hour. Time flies in this. I don't know how, you know, it feels like only like 20 to 30 minutes or something, you know, but one full hour has gone by.
This is better than meditation.
This is a form of meditation, a different kind of meditation. It's a different kind of meditation.
Really, very interesting. Very nice.
Oh, we're just getting started. But you see how much came out just from everything all of you stated. You know, you already have, and I already have, all of the wisdom, knowledge, everything we're looking for is already there within us. We just need to open it up through the dialogue process. You will notice something. You will make a note of a couple of things. Sachin here did not ask any specifics about your individual life. Point number one. I did not ask you to do a meditation technique. Point number two. I also did not ask you to follow a particular viewpoint. Isn't it so? All that we have done, we have examined and inquired together with respect for each other.
And now, can I add something, Justin?
Mr. Jeevan, please go ahead, and then Milu, you can go.
We have been thinking rather than listening passively without using our brain.
Yes. Exactly. We have to use our brain 100%. You know, there's so much passive listening, all that. That also has some benefit. It's not like that. But we have to do this together and go into it. Otherwise, that fire of enlightenment cannot awaken. You know, if you want to create fire, you can rub the two stones together. Then that spark will come like this. So let's do a quick go around. And each person can make just a closing remark, because I don't want to go too much long, because I don't want to make it too boring or anything. So we'll close it up this way. We'll start with Ms. Milu, your closing comments about today's experience, the dialogue, and then we'll just go one person at a time. Go ahead, Ms. Milu.
I thought this exercise was excellent. It also taught me how to listen to everybody intensely, so that way I can understand and then say something.
Okay, very nice. Miss Nida?
Talking with someone.
Yeah.
Maybe a person or like in group. This situation with other people.
Yes.
It clarifies or it makes it, I don't know, I can't think of the word right now, but
there it is. This is the whole point I was saying. Remember, I told you of something will happen where your mind will not know what to do. That's it. There it is, right there.
That's, I can think of the word right now, but when you start talking with a group or just one person, it just makes like it gives you answers.
Yeah, from inside, from within you. Yes, very nice. Mr. Jeevan?
It has been an excellent exercise in thinking power.
Please come every Thursday. Thank you. This is just a beginning. We're really going to go into it. It's going to be a lot of fun. Okay, Ms. Devi?
It was really nice to have this kind of a discussion. So from now, from evening, I'll have my mind to go in depth. And I have something to think about and...
Yes.
Nice to talk about and discuss and all those things.
So thank you.
Really good.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Keep my mind occupied.
Very good. Ms. Debbie.
Yeah, I think I've collected a few key words and with them some concepts to think about.
Yes, definitely. These are some profound things, but they're simple also. Very good. Ms. Mia, you want to say anything?
It was interesting to hear other people's viewpoints on the same topic,
and get so many different opinions on this one basic word.
Yeah, isn't that, that's what's interesting. It's really, really powerful that way. The other people have not made any comments. If you don't want to say anything, that's fine. I don't know who this iPad 107 is there, LG Stylo?
I didn't actually say anything, but I enjoyed the discussion.
Sure, sure. Okay, that's fine. Actually, the people that have not spoken, those are the enlightened people already. That's what it is. You know? So I'm just kidding. So, no. Listening, you know, the whole thing about listening, as I think some of you have stated, is so powerful. Just to listen carefully to each other is a big thing in life. Big thing, huge. You know, and human beings are not there. Most people are just running in God knows what direction. Anyway, but at least we're trying to do that with each other. Anybody else that hasn't said anything yet?
Is this going to be every day?
It's going to be, this dialogue group will meet every Thursday. This is once a week. It'll start at 7 p.m. It'll probably go until 8 o'clock minimum, but it might go longer. I don't want to stretch it too much, but because you guys will say, Sachin, stop going, don't do too much of it. You know, so, that's the thing, you know. But dialogue is very powerful. It can go for 2-3 hours, you know, when you really start going into these things carefully. You see, we opened it up in multiple ways, different perspectives came out of this. We'll go further into the probing process. It will continue next time into the, you know, from where we left off today. But here's something to do between now and the next Thursday. And that is to pick just one word. Maybe the word is resistance or control or clarity, and stick with that word and probe into it between now and next time and see what happens. See what happens within you. It's like an internal research. Just take one word. You don't need more than that. Just one word is enough, you know, and stay with it. You know, so we used many words today. We used word balance, clarity, emotions, then of course the controlling process. Then we also talked about peace a little bit, calm mind, so many things. Take one thing and stay with it and keep looking into it whenever you can throughout the day and throughout the week and see what happens within. And then next week, Thursday, if you would like, you can report on your experience. So it is a type of meditation without actually meditation techniques. It's something, a different approach. but
Sachin, you do a good job.
Well, we try to do what we can. I'm trying to pull together, you know, so many years of experience, like 25, 30 years of study and experience and so many things that are there, and to extract it in a way that can directly, you know, touch anybody pretty much. That's the idea. But thank you all.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sachin.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
Did anyone?
Have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you all very much. And remember, our regular meditations are continuing on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Saturdays. You know, and then on morning time, we have from 6 a.m. to 6:30 a.m. that meditation is there. And Dr. Chetna and I are developing an accountability program that will begin next month. That's a very interesting piece of all this. You know, so that's something that we'll talk about later on. That's a whole different thing. But it's not different, but it's like it's all connected together. Anyway, see you all next time. Thank you. Okay.
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 Bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.